The headlines: Iran's president calls for an immediate end to the Saudi war on Yemen, saying the continuation of the conflict will bring nothing but suffering for the Yemeni people. Iran and Iraq agree to boost economic cooperation and trade as Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi pays an official visit to Tehran. And Russia steps up missile strikes on Ukraine as the G7 leaders gather in Germany to discuss further sanctions against Moscow. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran and Iraq say they have agreed to work together to help bring an end to the suffering of people in Yemen through dialogue.
We believe without a doubt continuing this war is futile, as it only causes pain among the people, women and children included. This war should end as soon as possible, and the current ceasefire can be a step toward the settlement of issues in Yemen as well as intra-Yemeni talks.
The remarks were made by Raisi in a joint presser with Iraq's premier, Mustafa al-Kadhimi. Following their meeting in Tehran, Raisi said Tehran and Baghdad believe regional countries can solve their problems themselves through dialogue. He said the presence of foreign forces in the region only worsens the current problems. The Iranian president said normalizing ties with a number of regional countries will not bring security for Israel. On bilateral relations, both leaders agreed to boost economic cooperation and trade. Raisi said the trip could be a turning point in Iran-Iraq relations. Iran and Nicaragua, both targeted by U.S. sanctions, are stepping up cooperation in the health and medical sectors. The head of Iran's top pharmaceutical company, Barakat, has traveled to Central America, where he signed several key agreements. Akbar Burandagi signed a deal with the Nicaraguan Social Security Institute, as well as a medical laboratory and a distribution company. The agreement so will see the export of Iranian medicine and medical equipment to Nicaragua. Burandagi says Iran will also share its know-how in the health sector with the country. The Nicaraguan Institute director has also hailed the achievements of the visit. He said the trip will facilitate access to high-quality Iranian medicine and medical items in his country. A Nicaraguan presidential advisor also said Managua and Tehran share aspirations. He underlined the need for strategic cooperation between the two countries, the health sector in particular. Just days ago, Nicaragua took delivery of 200,000 doses of the Iranian COVID-19 vaccine. Russia strikes Kiev with missiles again after a three-week lull in bombardments. Four blasts shook the city in the early hours of the morning. At least five people have been injured. Kiev's mayor says a rescue operation is underway to evacuate residents from a residential complex that was the target of the attack. Russia's newest attack on the capital comes a day after its army took over Severodonetsk. The key industrial hub was the scene of a strict battle weeks ago before the Ukrainian army finally withdrew its forces. As the war enters its fifth month, the seizure of Severodonetsk in the embattled Donbass region marks an important strategic win for Moscow. In the meantime, Ukraine has been pushing the Western arms suppliers for more heavy weaponry to be able to confront the Russian offensive. Civilians, including women and children, are withstanding the worst effects of the conflict in Ukraine. Johnny Miller has attended the funeral ceremony for a six-year-old girl who was killed by the Ukrainian army's shelling in eastern Donbass.
A six-year-old girl lies in her coffin. Her name is Alina. She was killed by Ukrainian army shelling of the Donetsk region. Her family and the local community mourn together. As she's taken away to the burial site, her grandmother bids farewell to her beloved granddaughter for the last time. She asks for forgiveness. Now, Alina was killed in the playground. Speaking to locals and the family, they tell me that she was killed because of a Ukrainian shell and an anti-air defense missile fired by the Russians hit that missile in the mid-air, and shrapnel showered to the ground to kill Alina. A few moments ago, there was the massive boom of the anti-air defense working. Alina didn't die straight away. She was taken to hospital and died 2 days later. The clock is stopped at 6:12, the moment Alina's heart stopped beating. She arrives at the burial site. Her family say their final goodbyes. Now, there's something particularly shocking about a child killed in war. Few people here can hold back the tears. While millions of people in NATO countries continue to encourage their governments to send more weapons to Ukraine instead of negotiating for peace, the fact of the matter is, the longer this war goes on, the more children like Alina will be killed. A memorial in Donetsk. The sign reads, "To the children killed in Donbass since 2014. There is no end date, as children continue to die. Mourners take their turn to pay their final respects. For 8 years, Ukraine has targeted and killed civilians here in Donetsk. President Zelensky, lionized in the West for defending European values, has continued the policy. Alina's whole life was lived during this war, a war now escalated by the Russian invasion and NATO's policy of arming Ukraine instead of pushing for negotiations. This is the true reality of war." Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
A group of seven leading economies doubled down their support for Ukraine by saying they will no longer import gold from Russia. In a united move to cut off Moscow's finances, the G7 leaders announced the decision shortly after their summit got underway in Germany's Bavarian Alps hours ago. According to the White House, Russia accounts for about 5% of all gold exports, and 90% of that was sold to G7 countries. A centerpiece of the three-day summit will be growing energy shortages, as well as rising global energy prices worsened by the Kiev-Moscow conflict. Also on the agenda are global food crisis and climate change. Thousands of police officers are tasked with ensuring security. Just a day ahead of the summit, about 4,000 people turned out in Munich for a largely peaceful protest. There were minor reports of scuffles with police. The protesters want a phasing out of fossil fuels, social justice, and efforts to combat hunger. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has underscored deeper unity among all the Palestinians in the face of the occupying regime of Israel. Ismail Haniyeh says while he was addressing a forum in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, said that the Palestinian resistance is on the verge of victory despite challenges and changes. He said that it was imperative to the Palestinians to remain united against Israeli aggression. Haniyeh said the Zionist regime is divided and in total political chaos. The Hamas leader hailed Palestinian refugees in Lebanon and other countries for defending their Islamic identity and Al-Aqsa. Haniyeh also emphasized solidarity with Lebanon to protect its rights, especially in the light of Israel's attempt to attack the Lebanese natural resources in the south. Sources of Israeli Israeli settlers escorted by security forces have stormed the Flashpoint Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Al-Quds. Witnesses say that the settlers performed rituals and Talmudic prayers in the mosque's courtyard, violating a long-standing agreement. Similar incursions have occurred in the past, escalating into clashes between Palestinians and Israeli forces. Palestinians say these provocations are a serious threat to security and stability. They believe the transgressions are part of the Israeli regime's Judaization plan for the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is Islam's third holiest site. Israel occupied East Al-Quds during the Six-Day War in 1967, but the international community never recognized it. Several international organizations have investigated the circumstances surrounding the killing of Shirin Abu Akva in May, and all came to the conclusion that it was a bullet fired from an Israeli rifle that killed the Al Jazeera correspondent and injured her fellow journalist as they were covering an Israeli raid in Jenin.
Now, the UN Human Rights Office agrees that the veteran Palestinian journalist was killed by Israeli fire last month. The probe finds that Abu Akleh and her colleague were targeted by seemingly well-aimed bullets as they covered a military raid in the occupied West Bank.
All the information we have gathered, including official documentation from the Israeli military and the Palestinian Attorney General, is consistent with the finding that the shots that killed Abu Akleh and injured her colleague came from Israeli security forces and not from indiscriminate firing by armed Palestinians, as was initially claimed by the Israeli authorities.
So far, several media organizations have conducted their own investigations into the incident, and all have come to the same conclusion. Multiple witnesses also agreed with the probes, stating that Israeli forces shot the veteran Palestinian reporter. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera and its host country, Qatar, pointed the fingers at Israel from the outset. The UN has also confirmed that Abu Akleh was wearing a blue flak jacket marked with the word press when being shot by Israeli troops, exposing the gruesome nature of the daylight murder and suggesting that they were deliberately targeted.
As long as the United States and its allies continue to not only embrace this position, but to promote this position using every tactic at their disposal, including threats, the more that has been the case, the more the occupation is quite happy to resort to war crimes bordering on what one could also say are crimes against humanity, albeit in a very calculated move, drawn out over a period of decades, as is the case with ethnic cleansing, which if it happened over a shorter period of time, would fit very nicely with the definition of a genocide.
The killing of yet another journalist is, however, in line with the pattern of Israeli violence against reporters and other members of the media. The Palestinian Ministry of Information says at least 45 journalists have been killed by Israeli forces since 2000.
The killing of Abu Akleh provides further proof that Israel targets Palestinian journalists. The numbers speak for themselves. According to the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate, since Israel's occupation of the West Bank, Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and Gaza in 1967, regime forces have killed an estimated 86 Palestinian journalists, more than half of them in the years since 2000.
Israeli brutality against Palestinians and journalists has been a topic of discussion for many years now. The regime has, however, never accepted blame for its wrongdoing, and in nearly all cases baselessly shifted the blame on Palestinians, and the case of Abu Akleh is no exception. Following the UN's report, the Israeli regime insisted that the fatal shooting of Abu Akleh was unintentional, pointing out at the same time that it had not received access to critical evidence that might determine whether she was killed by an Israeli soldier or a Palestinian gunman. Israel's military also says Palestinian authorities should hand over the bullet that killed Shireen. The demand has, however, been met by widespread criticism, with Palestinians saying the regime should hand over the gun, which is believed to have killed the journalist, as Israel can't be trusted of conducting a fair investigation of itself. The murder of Abu Akleh, which sparked global outrage, only adds to Israel's long list of atrocities against Palestinians. But that fury has yet to translate into any concrete measure, particularly by international bodies such as the UN Security Council. So far, several international organizations have provided evidence of Israel's brutality against Palestinians. UN resolutions have also been passed against Israel for its occupation and blockades of the coastal enclave. Yet, no one, including the UNSC, has used any of its tools to ensure resolutions related to ending the Israeli siege imposed on Gaza have been implemented.
The complete lack of accountability only encourages, as we have seen, more war crimes by the occupation. And the unfortunate that the position long taken by the number one sponsor of the occupation, the United States of America, is that Palestinians and Israelis should resolve their differences through negotiation, and in both instances should be prevented from invoking international law and the institutions which administer it in order to impose a solution in keeping with their respective legal obligations in the so-called rules-based international order. And that, of course, is really quite absurd.
Instead, many of the UNSC member states have doubled their support for Israel, despite its blockade and bombardment of Gaza and murdering dozens of innocent women and children. Some even increased their support for the regime and obliged neighboring countries to forge ties with it. And in absence of action, there is no reason to expect Israeli violence against the Palestinians, whether a journalist or not, whether well-known or not, will end anytime soon.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
Abhay Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first six. My dad, who taught me the art of
media. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, June 26, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So, please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us, an electronic QSL card from us. So here, I do send my warm appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, and Paul Walker from the US. So, Mizanur Rahman, Paul, and Juan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here, I do send my warm gratitude to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, including an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, Francis Lawlor from Ireland. From Italy, we've received an email from Nico Genovis. Here we have an email from Netherlands from Rob Den Boer. And Owen Williams from England has sent us a piece of email, which after short music, I will read these emails. Please stay with us. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here to read these great emails from around the world. Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. So let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, as a long-time regular listener to my favorite radio station, I send my greetings and good wishes to IRIB English team for presenting attractive and interesting programs that truly enhances my knowledge of the great nation of Iran. Please receive my feedback of one of your broadcasts of June 20th, 2022, which I accessed in 25-meter shortwave band. Reception quality was fairly good with a strong signal strength. Presentation of program was cheerful and friendly. It would be a pleasure to have any report verified at your end with a printed QSL card. I would be delighted to receive some Iranian postage stamps for collection if it is possible from your end. Wishing all IRIB English staff good health and safety. With warm regards from India. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and of course from IRIB English Radio. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, please accept our warm appreciations and gratitude to you for sending us such a detailed email. You know, you discussed about the quality of the programs, and we value this support and commitment to our radio. And of course, your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. It was an honor to receive this email from you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And thank you very much to tell us your views about the, you know, about the quality of the programs, about the quality of the signals and the signal strength, which you described, it was, as you described, as fairly good with a strong signal. And as you described, the quality of the program as good. Thank you very much for telling us your views about our programs, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. As for your request about sending you paper QSL card or any material, including postage stamps, I have to repeat this point, that sending any material on behalf of our radio at the time of pandemic, unfortunately, it's not possible. So for the time being, before this virus is eradicated from around the world, please accept our electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from Ireland, as I said, we've received an email from Francis LaLore. Let's see what Francis says. Dear friends, I am a collector of QSL cards. I would like to have a QSL from your station, please. I heard IRIB in English a few days ago on 9855 kilohertz. The program, part of the Quran, describing what paradise is like. This was followed by another talk with reference to the Quran as well. Thank you very much and very best wishes. Salam and warm greetings to you, Francis LaLore from Ireland. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. So, you listened to a part of the program about the Noble Quran, describing, as you said, what paradise is like, followed by another talk with reference to the Quran as well. Thank you very much for telling us your views about our programs. So you are a collector of QSL cards, and that's great. It's a kind of hobby for some people around the world. As you know, we are in the time of pandemic. However, the coronavirus pandemic is almost over in Iran because most of the people are vaccinated. So the number of deaths regarding coronavirus is zero in Iran, fortunately, thank God. But as far as the pandemic is still around the world, so we cannot send any mail post for our listeners. So for the time being, please accept an electronic QSL card in your collection, because as you said, you collect QSL cards from different radio stations from around the world. So for the time being, we send you our electronic QSL card as a confirmation to your email, Francis LaLore from Ireland. Francis, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Nico Genovese. Stay with me. Welcome back. As I said, Nico Genovese from Italy has sent us a piece of email. Let's see what Nico says. Dear friends of IRIB, my name is Nico Genovese and I am an Italian radio listener. I am writing to send you a reception report made a few minutes ago. I enclosed two short recordings of the listening that I made with my receiver. I hope to receive your confirmation with EQSL to my mail. Best regards from Italy. Salam and warm greetings to you, Nico Genovese from Italy, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So we are happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in your region in Italy. You sent us, two short recordings of the listening you had from your receiver. Thank you for that. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Nico, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. So, from the Netherlands, we've received an email from Rob Den Boer. Rob says, "Dear Voice of Iran Radio," he means IRIB English Radio, "glad to confirm your broadcast today. Please verify my audio recording, and if correct, please verify by your EQSL. Thank you very much." Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, salam, and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and of course from IRIB English Radio. So, you want an EQSL card as a confirmation, so that's what we do. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation to your email. Thank you very much for sending us this email. And after a short break, we will be back with an email from Owen Williams. Stay tuned. This is Listeners Special, your program, the Sunday program. And as I said, Owen Williams from England has sent us a piece of email. Owen says, "I am listening to your radio right now. I am listening from Bristol in southwestern of England. Considering this, the signal is very reasonable. There is a lot of local electrical noise at my location, but despite this, the broadcast is totally readable. I have attached a short audio clip of what I have received. I will listen to for your English language services in future. Do you have a schedule of English broadcast? I would be very grateful if you could send me a QSL card to verify my reception report. I wish you all the best, and I hope to hear your English programs again in the future. Take care, and 73s. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and from IRIB English Radio to Owen Williams from England. We are so happy that the signals of our radio, IRIB English Radio, is heard in Bristol. As you said, it is located in southwestern England. You find our, signals totally readable, and that's great. As you said, you consider the signals of IRIB English Radio very reasonable, and it's good. You've attached a short audio clip of what you caught up from IRIB English Radio. Yes, we received it. Thank you for that. And my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And to find the archive of our programs, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Owen Williams from England, thank you very much for sending us this email and briefing the quality of our programs. So we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Dear listeners, before wrapping up this program, I want to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Paul Walker from the US, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, Nico Genovese from Italy. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, and the last but not the least, Owen Williams from England. Thank you very much for being with your program, Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
One of the concepts that we have in the Holy Quran, I believe it is repeated, is the concept of dhikr. One thing that needs to develop in us, and we need to get that going, is to get ourselves to be in that state of dhikr, constant dhikr. The heart being there. The heart constantly being in the form and in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah, even though this tongue may be saying something completely. How do we move in that direction? How do we try to acquire that condition? There is a there's steps of dhikr that need to be taken. All right, dhikr needs to get to a point where the heart is consistently in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like if you compare that, or if we use the parable of climbing a mountain, that's the peak of the mountain. That's where you would want to get to. We're way down here, we may even not have started moving up. We're still in the lowest point of the valley before even starting uphill to go up the mountain. But that's where we're headed. That's the climax. That's the peak. That's where you want to arrive at.
There's steps to take in dhikr. What are the steps? The first step that we have the Ahlul Bayt mention in this way, because the Quran mentions it in different ways. One hadith we have, I forget the chapter in Al-Kafi, we have it, I believe it's in, I'm not sure which chapter. It's in the first two volumes. I'm not sure if it's Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr or one of the others. I think it's in Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr. There's a section on dhikr, but there's other chapters as well. I'm not sure, but it's in the first two volumes. Anyway, the Imam encourages everyone to be in the state of dhikr. Then he says, I don't mean subhanallah and la ilaha illallah. Rather, what I mean is remembering Allah in regards to His halal and haram. Anything I want to do, remember, did God say this is okay? Did He say it's forbidden? Did He say it's wajib? What did He say about this? Make sure you do your wajib and make sure you avoid haram. When you're speaking, avoid backbiting. Identify what it is, what ghibah is, what the other sins of the tongue are. When you're speaking, before you say it, is God pleased with this or not? Is this something that He has allowed me to say? Or is it not? If He's allowed me to say it, I'll say it. If He hasn't allowed me, I don't say it. Before I do it, remember Allah, make sure. This is a basic, this is the most basic form of dhikr. This is the first step of dhikr. If anyone is unwilling to take this step of dhikr, they're not willing to be careful and think of Allah before doing anything, before starting a business, before making a transaction, before buying something, before selling something, before talking to someone, before marriage, before whatever. If I'm not willing to remember, He is the Lord, He tells me what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do, what I must do, what I'm recommended to do, and whatever else. Focus being what I am forbidden of doing and what is wajib. I have to be careful of those. That's the first level of dhikr. If I'm not willing to do that, it doesn't matter how many times I repeat subhanallah. I'm practically going against subhanallah. When that time of remembering he, when I say subhanallah, it means he is God and no one else is God. That's what I say. And then in action, God said, don't do this. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. So I am God. It's never going to happen. Never going to develop the higher stages of dhikr. This is one thing that we need to constantly be careful of. And without this, we can never establish anything above this. This is the foundation. You can't build a structure. It's a type of foundation. You just can't. It's like the pole of the tent, if we may. You can have all the things tied. You're never going to have a standing tent if you don't set that pole up. Okay, you just have everything on the ground. You're never going to have a standing tent. You can have fabric and whatever, but it's not going to be a tent until you put that pole up. Take that pole down, it's all gone. Without this, it's impossible. There's no way. There are many of us that want to take a shortcut. We don't like being careful with this. There's too many cases where we have to sacrifice things that we don't like to. Difficult choices. We don't want to do that. But then we read about these urafa, ulama, this, that, the other. We like to get way up there. And then, okay, let me find where it says what to do. There's this dhikr. If you say this dhikr, it's not going to do anything if this form of dhikr is not done. While we're practicing this, because we're going to fail, we're going to try. And anytime we fail, anytime we go against what God has said, we forget God, we do it afterwards, we remember. We have to do tawbah, we have to do istighfar. Remember, when we remember, feel bad, feel guilt, feel regret, and ask God for forgiveness and tell Him, I don't want to do it. Sorry, it slipped my mind. I forgot about this. I got busy with that. Whatever, you know, these are different wordings that we can use. Generally, the idea of repentance and tawbah, that's part of it. We keep doing that, inshallah, we're going to get better and better at that. And the other thing is all these different adhkar that we've been told. It doesn't have to have any number. You don't need to count how many it is. I know some people that would use the tasbih just to, again, the same way that the tongue needs to move for your, at a lower stage to be able to get the heart to think of dhikr. The tasbih is just there as a reminder so that, you know, they get busy with something else. They just feel the tasbih, they remember, oh, dhikr, they keep doing it. So they're not really counting how many times they've said this or that. These various adhkar, the second thing we're saying besides that for that dhikr of Allah, when there's halal and haram and wajib and so on and so forth, is that there's plenty of adhkar. And one of the highest forms of dhikr is prayer. There's various prayers as well. Because prayer is a form of dhikr that you're not only saying things, you're also your position, the standing position, the ruku' position, and all of that is there. You need to be in tahara, you need to have wudu for regular dhikr, you don't need to have that. So a climax of dhikr is prayer. Aqim as-salata li-dhikri. Besides the wajib prayers, which falls under the first category, we said remembering Allah when there's wajib, prayer times comes in, that's wajib. Other salawat, other prayers that we have, all of these prayers have been introduced to us by the Ahlul Bayt. Wallah, there's benefit to them. Otherwise, the Ahlul Bayt wouldn't introduce us to these forms.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi. كريم عظيم عليم حليم متین غفور شکور ودود قیوم رؤوف صبور مجید صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767 Tehran Islamic Republic of Iran or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A major benefit brought by Imam Khomeini was familiarizing people with concept of resistance. This is the part of the speech delivered on June 4th, 2022 by Imam Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. On the 33rd demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini, greetings be upon him. The former big and small revolutions, whether the French and Soviet revolutions or the small revolutions that were conducted in the 19th and the 20th centuries, spirituality was completely missing. The spiritual aspect of humanity, which is one of its fundamental needs, was completely missing and ignored, and no one paid any attention to it. The Islamic Revolution is, however, a revolution that pays attention and attends to both the worldly and otherworldly aspects of humans. Well, Imam, may God bestow paradise on him, was the leader of this revolution and the movement that led to it. What does the leader of the movement and the revolution mean? This is where the significance of his work becomes clear. Of course, it was the people who brought victory to the revolution. There is no doubt about this. If the people had not entered the revolution with their bodies and souls, with their presence, with their self-sacrifice and offerings of martyrs, the revolution would not have won.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
It was the people who brought victory to the revolution. But whose was the powerful hand that managed to stir that ocean? This is important. That powerful hand, that steel personality, that confident heart, and that Dhulfiqar-like tongue, which succeeded in bringing millions of people from different social backgrounds to the arena, in keeping them there, in dispelling any hopelessness in them, and in showing them the direction, was our magnanimous Imam, the great Khomeini. Imam brought the people to the arena, showed them the way, kept them in the arena, and steered them away from despair and hopelessness. No other person in the country was capable of pulling this off. We know political and seminarian personalities, some from close up and some from a distance. No person was capable of carrying that heavy load and bringing it to the destination. That endeavor was exclusive to our magnanimous Imam. It was he who managed to accomplish that feat. At different stages, Imam even pointed the various arenas of fighting.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.